Summer in Sodom. Chapter 2. Ted stared at Jerry in surprise and then snapped his head back to the window. He saw what Jerry meant. A tall, bronzed youth had followed Eileen from the small waiting room. He stood beside her on the platform and placed his hand on her shoulder with a casual, possessive air. Ted felt a quick flash of resentment deep inside. He forced his eyes away from the handsome intruder. Jerry watched him with a raised eyebrow. Ted sank into a sullen silence. Something about the easy confidence, the virile grace of the boy standing beside his Eileen plunged him into depression. He was only dimly aware that the bus was fast disgorging the other passengers. Jerry leaned over once more toward the window, forcing Ted back into the resilient seat. "The day is becoming more and more interesting," he muttered. "What a physique!" He moved away from the window and slid out into the aisle. Ted sat dejectedly, a stony expression on his face. Suddenly, Jerry's deep laughter broke into his desperation. Ted felt Jerry's hand on his arm. "Come on, Ted. I'm dying of curiosity. Let's find out what's going on." With a resigned shrug, Ted moved into the aisle and reached up to drag his suitcase from the rack. He followed Jerry to the front of the bus, and both swung lightly to the ground. He allowed Jerry to lead the way, threading a pathway through the crowd. Eileen didn't see him until he was at her side. She whirled, startled at his touch, and then broke into an affectionate smile. "Ted!" she exclaimed. "For a minute I thought we'd met the wrong bus." Ted returned her welcome with a wan, weary smile. "It's me, all right," he said lamely. His eyes covertly took the measure of the youth at Eileen's side. He had to admit that the boy was good-looking. Almost too good-looking. The clean white T-shirt, the snug Bermudas could not disguise a body swathed with iron muscles. His face was darkly bronzed by sun, almost foreign-looking, with delicate features and coal-black eyes fringed with long lashes. His mouth was full and sensual. The overall effect was that of girlish prettiness combined with a rock-hard, Herculean virility. Eileen turned to him. "Ted, this is Ian Raymond. He's been staying with us since April." Mechanically, Ted took the proffered hand. "Hi," he mumbled unenthusiastically. Ian's hand held his just a moment too long, and Ted had to pull away. He was self-consciously aware that Ian was also surveying him. Behind him, he heard Jerry utter a discreet cough. "Oh, I'm sorry," he stammered. "This is Jerry. We met on the bus." Jerry stepped forward, beaming. He took Eileen's hand and then smiled ingratiatingly at Ian. "Ted and I have become good friends already. Any friend of his is a friend of mine." Ted looked at him, puzzled. It was a strange remark for Jerry to make under the circumstances. "Well, Ted and I don't really know each other," said Ian, "but I'm sure we will. After all, we're both staying at the Gables." "Yes, you are, aren't you?" returned Jerry with a fixed smile. "Well, won't that be convenient? You're sharing a room, I suppose?" Eileen broke in, looking firmly at both of them. "Ted has a room to himself, like last year. Our place is fairly large, you know." Ted felt he should say something, inasmuch as he seemed to be the principal topic of conversation, but suddenly he was tongue-tied. He merely stood, squinting into the afternoon sun at the three of them. "I've just done some fixing up around Coburn's place," said Ian proudly. "You're a decorator, then," said Jerry, exuberance thinly masking his disdain. "I know several decorators. Somehow you don't look the type." Ted watched as Ian's eyes became veiled. "Not all of us can say we don't look the type," Ian replied pointedly, with a withering glance below Jerry's waist. "Decorating's a hobby. I don't advise my hobbies." His mellow voice had a sarcastic ring, although the innuendo was lost to Ted. Jerry turned to Ted, still smiling evenly. "Sometimes a little advertising pays off, doesn't it, Ted?" Eileen looked at them both in surprise, obviously waiting for Ted's answer.
I guess so," said Ted without conviction.
"Right," said Jerry with enthusiasm, "and time will tell just how much it pays to advertise." Eileen frowned at him. Her voice was tight with anxiety.
Has something happened between you already?"
"Competitors don't divulge secrets," quipped Jerry. Eileen looked at Jerry and with disgust, then at Ted and Ian.
"Let's go,"
she said shortly. Ted picked up his bag. Good idea. The prevalent animosity, shrouded with feigned good humor, was making him uneasy, especially since so much of it appeared to center around him.
"My car's over there," said Jerry easily. "Where's the gayest place to stay this season?" Ian.
Well, you could try the...
Ian cut himself off abruptly. How the hell should I know? He snarled.
Jerry chuckled. For a second, I thought you were going to do a little advertising after all, he said to Eileen. Keep your eye on Ted. If he ever starts cruising, he'll be mobbed.
Ted tapped his foot impatiently on the sidewalk. I can take care of myself, Jerry. I don't need a nursemaid.
Sure you can, responded Jerry good-naturedly. Just a little joke. When I find a place to stay, you'll have to come over for a beer.
Ted doesn't drink, said Eileen sharply. Jerry winced. Ouch, that's my cue to split.
He patted Ted affectionately on the shoulder and sauntered away into the crowd, his traveling bag swinging effortlessly at his side. For a moment, they all watched his retreat. Eileen relaxed only slightly.
How in the world did you ever meet him? She asked, exasperated.
Ted shrugged. We just got talking on the bus. He's an easygoing sort of guy.
Ted found himself defending Jerry. He sensed Jerry's loyalty and the obvious dislike he had shown toward Ian. Ted had the feeling that Jerry was on his side.
Let's get back to the place, suggested Ian. If Ted doesn't need a beer, I sure do. That Jerry character's a bitch on wheels.
His petulance showed in slightly pouting lips. He walked away from them, evidently expecting Eileen and Ted to follow. Ted hesitated for an instant. He allowed his eyes to linger on the flagrant curve of Eileen's breasts beneath the fragile material of the summer blouse, the soft swell of hips revealed by clinging pink capris, the rich, moist lips he had remembered all winter long. He was just about to ask her point blank about Ian when she interrupted his thoughts.
What are you waiting for, Ted? Mother'll be expecting us, and I've got to help get dinner.
Her voice was still laced with an undercurrent of annoyance. She strode away ahead of him, and he had to run to catch up. Ian drove a 54 Dodge that had seen better days. As they bounced along the uneven surface of the country road, Ted peered about, his senses excited at familiar sights of the past, sensuous summer. He remembered every cottage fondly. He embraced the scent of the pines and cedars along the sandy margin of the road. Finally, the car topped a rise, and the vivid blue of Lake Erie was seen for the first time, shimmering with slivers of dancing light in the afternoon sun.
"I was terribly sorry to hear about your mother's death, Ted," ventured Eileen at last. Her voice was soft now. Her sympathy was genuine. "Have you made any plans?"
Ted shook his head. As much as he didn't want to discuss it, he realized that not everyone would understand his fervent desire to push the entire numbing tragedy to the back of his mind until his emotions were more able to cope with it. "No plans," he said. "Apparently I've got to decide what to do with the house. Our lawyer told me he could get a good price from the college for it. But the thought of clearing it out, there's generations of stuff accumulated." Ian looked up from the road with interest.
"What sort of a place is it?"
"Big old stone place. Spires, the whole works. It has real value today for commercial purposes, according to the lawyer. The college is ready to write a check for it as soon as I say the word. I don't know that they've been after Mom to sell it for years. She never would, of course."
"You'd be wealthy, wouldn't you?" Ian remarked.
Eileen took him to task.
"That's an awful thing to say. There are some things money can't replace, Ian Raymond. Ted has lived in that house all his life."
Ian mumbled an apology. Ted accepted it, enjoying the fact that the handsome youth beside him had been chastised by Eileen. His spirits, in a slump since his arrival, tilted slightly upward. "Speaking of houses," he said, "I can't wait to see the Gables. I've thought about it all winter."
"You're in for a surprise," Ian replied. "Since I've been living there, we've made some changes. You won't recognize the place."
Ted looked accusingly at Eileen.
"What did you do that for? It looked fine last year." "It was Mother's idea, not mine. She said that, like it or not, we have to move with the times. And over the last few years, a different kind of customer has been coming to the beach. We have to look the part in order to get boarders."
Ian snickered knowingly.
"I did my best, you must admit. The place looks very swish, if I do say so myself." "Oh, Ian, cut it out," said Eileen. She moved closer to Ted. "It'll be a change of a real man around the place."
Ian laughed shortly.
"Believe me, I'm not arguing about that."
He looked at Ted with approval. "We may have time for a swim before supper, Ted."
"Let's all go in." "I can see if I can get away from the kitchen," said Eileen brightly.
"Spoil sport," retorted Ian. He swung the wheel of the car to negotiate the tight bend in the road beyond which lay the Gables, Eileen's home. Just as the huge clapboard structure appeared, he slowed dramatically.
"Look," he said, "I've given the place a whole new personality."
Ted looked. His mouth opened in astonishment at the sight. The sprawling house with the Cape Cod-style gables had indeed been given a facelifting. The severe white and black, which had seemed to blend so well into the natural background of water and sand and pines, was gone. The house now seemed to squat on the sand like a tired old auntie dressed in pastel pink. The shutters were painted a dull, pale green. The front yard, which previously had been alive with wildflowers nestled between rocks and sandgrass, was now sodded and manicured. Last year, Ted remembered, the property line had blended smoothly into the landscape. Now, a pink picket fence across the front delineated the line between nature and man. Ted felt Ian's eyes upon him as he tried to take in the whole new personality of the Gables.
"Well, what do you think?" urged Ian. "You'd better say you like it," Eileen warned.
Ted shrugged. "I like it," he said blandly. Inwardly, he remarked that he could probably get used to it in time. Ian was apparently placated. He allowed the old Dodge to roll down the hill toward the structure he had done over. He ran the car off the road and up a driveway of hard sand and stone which led to the rear of the house. He turned off the ignition and opened the door.
"Go up to your room and change into your trunks, Ted. Last one in is a thinking fairy."
"I'll go in if Eileen will," Ted hedged. Ian got out of the car.
"It's a conspiracy, that's what it is," he cried in exasperation. "I'll see you two on the beach. I'm going to put some beer on ice."
The screen door of the kitchen banged closed behind him. Ted turned to meet Eileen's gaze. For a long moment, they searched each other's eyes. Eileen put her tiny hand on the corded muscles of his arm.
"I'm glad you're back, Ted. I've missed you. There's so much I want to talk to you about."
Ted broke away from the spell of her warm, amber eyes. He looked pointedly at the screen door.
"Like Ian, for example," he gestured.
A vixenish giggle bubbled up in her throat.
"Why, you sound jealous. Poor Ted. You just don't get the picture, do you?"
He was about to say that he would like to get the picture, and soon, but suddenly she was out of the car.
"Get your bag out of the back and come say hello to Mother."
She giggled again and headed for the kitchen door. In addition to a rug on the floor and framed pictures of Washington Square and New York City during the 90s, a huge, full-length oval mirror in a gilt frame had been added to the room since last year. Ted stood in front of the mirror and surveyed his naked body critically, comparing it to Ian's. He breathed in and was pleased to see the case-hardened sinews stand out in bold relief beneath his smooth skin. His profile was etched upon the mirror with clean, flowing lines. His body had grace and native beauty, etched in granite. He was lean at the hips. His stomach was a taut, flat slab of ridged muscles. His legs were powerful, his thighs cleanly arched with elastic muscles. A small patch of russet dawn appeared on his chest, then reappeared later, framing his obvious virility. He brushed the unruly lock of kinky hair away from his eyes. He was in good shape. He could only envy Ian's golden tan. After a few days on the beach, his body too would be cast in bronze. Ted frowned at himself. He could compete with Ian physically. He wondered what it was that Eileen saw in Ian, Raymond, that might cause him trouble. He looked about the room contemptuously. It certainly wouldn't be Ian's taste that would attract her. Somehow, the interior changes, the ornate pictures, the rug, the coyly matching bedspread made the room fussy looking. Previously, it had been plain and comfortable. Ted gave himself one last critical glance and then dug into his suitcase for his trunks. He stepped into them and pulled them up over his slim hips. The clinging low rise of the woolen briefs complemented the well-favored body. He slipped his feet into a pair of sandals he had bought for use on the beach, then opened the door and stepped out in the hallway. The winding, descending stairway was only a few feet from his door. Ted moved down the stairs with natural, panther-like grace. Just before he reached the bottom, he heard intense whispering, and intuitively he stopped on the landing for a moment. He recognized Eileen's voice.
"You promised," she was saying to someone in an intent whisper. "It's not fair. You're dealing with someone who just hasn't had any experience with these things."
"But I didn't know then just what I'd be missing." The last speaker was Ian Raymond. Ted strained his ears to catch the words.
"A promise is a promise," Eileen hissed angrily. "I expect you to keep off. Keep it. It's hands off."
There was a pause. Ted crept closer to the edge of landing and pressed his ear close to the corner of the wall, trying to understand the meaning of the strange, secretive conversation.
"I don't know what you're worried about," said Ian. "If everything is the way you say it is, no amount of persuasion on my part could change things. If it isn't, maybe it's time for a bringing-out party." I've seen you work before with others, Eileen whispered bitterly. I've never interfered then. But then it was none of my business.
All right, Ian sighed reluctantly. If it matters so much to you, I won't attack unless I'm provoked. But make sure I'm not. I admit I'm turned on, and I can't forget that bitch in town. He's just waiting for a chance at this pigeon.
Personally, I think you're being too protective, Eileen. I mean, honey, which is better, that other bitch or me?
When I hear you talk that way, there isn't any choice.
Ted looked back up the stairs. A door slammed, and he heard footsteps approaching. Quickly, he tiptoed back up the four steps, then descended to the ground floor just as an elderly boarder appeared behind him. Eileen looked up appreciatively when Ted came into view.
We were just waiting for you. Let's hurry. We've only got half an hour before dinner.
Ted looked at her strangely. He was confused by her sudden open, friendly attitude. Only moments before, he had heard Ian call her honey. Ian immediately took him by the arm. His touch was delicate, almost a caress. Ted looked at the impenetrable black eyes fringed with long lashes and tried to read the strange expression there. Ian steered him toward the door. Over his shoulder, he called to Eileen.
You coming, honey?
Ted extricated himself from Ian's grip. He found the touch of the other's hand upon his skin disturbed him. He found it impossible to overlook the splendid, tanned symmetry of Ian's youthful, beautifully developed body. Ted stopped to wait for Eileen. She came to him at once and took his hand. Ted sensed tremendous tension in her at the touch. Obviously, something very strange was going on between Eileen and Ian. Ted decided he would ask her to go to town with him tonight. He would begin once more the pleasurable ritual of their evening meandering along the beach. Later, he would get to the bottom of this tanned youth, Ian Raymond.